Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in today. Well, I'm excited for today's show because a couple of my good friends join me about twice a month, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, and today we're going to talk with them about the calling of fathers, of dads. And you know, you've maybe heard it said that anyone can be a father, but it takes a special man to be a dad. Well, we're going to spend some time today unpacking God's purpose for dads, God's influence, intended influence through fathers and dads, and how we can encourage and honor the men in our lives. Quick announcement before I get Greg and Aaron on the show. We are partnering with the National Association of Evangelicals in hopes to see 1 million Christians praying in America on Sunday, July 10th. The NAE, National Association of Evangelicals, are the ones who spearheading this initiative. So if you want to sign up your church, your life group, just sign up yourself. Go to NAE.net, hoping and praying for 1 million Christians to be praying on Sunday, July 10th, for this nation, that God would intervene and bring revival, bring repentance. Wouldn't it be something? I just want you to imagine if the masses started to feel sorry for their sin, if they suddenly felt an awareness of their need for God, and instead of shaking their fist and judging everybody else, we dared to humble our hearts and say, "Search me, God, know my heart," and start a revival in me. Boy, imagine that. Well, if you want to be part of this initiative, please do take a look at NAE.net. That's the National Association of Evangelicals.net. All right, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Dr. Greg Smalley serves as Vice President of Marriage for Focus on the Family. Aaron is a Program Director at Focus. And together, they have three daughters, Taylor, Murphy, and Annie, and their son, Garrison, who's giant, way bigger than Greg, by the way. I think he is. Anyway, you can find their influencer page up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Is Garrison bigger than you, Greg? I just got to ask.
Almost.
In what way? Like taller than me?
Sure.
he is. Not quite, but he'll surpass
soon.
Me.
Yeah, he's like 5'9". Greg's 5'9¾".
Whoa, this summer, that's
like
it, buddy.
I think his foot is bigger than your foot.
Yeah.
It is, that's true.
He's a puppy who hasn't grown into his paws yet, that is for sure. Well, so good to have you both. And as you both know, we love to start by talking scripture and wondering, Aaron, is there a verse you've been thinking about these days?
Yes, and in light of our conversation prior to coming on the air, it fits very well that it's Ephesians 6, 11 and 12. Mm. Put on the full armor of God that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And it just is... Again and again, just in culture, it just seems like the enemy has gone hard after marriages and families, and just continually as Christians to put the full armor of God on and to embrace what he's given us. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us protection. He's given us prayer. He's given us his word. And so that we fully embrace that. And stand firm against the enemy, because the enemy seems to be prowling.
Boy, that's such a good word. And you think, you know, I've walked through the armor on several different levels in my prayer life. But when you think about it for the sake of marriage, you know, the shoes of peace with the preparation of the gospel. Dr. Warren Wiersbe says the belt of truth isn't the word of God, because that's the sword, but the belt of truth is integrity in your character. And then you've got the breastplate of righteousness, where your identity is secure in Christ, not based on what you or your spouse does. I mean, you walk through that whole thing, and yet how few marriages really do engage the weapons of our warfare for the sake of marriage. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So good. How about you, Greggy?
Gregory would love to share. Actually, my name, Gregory, means watchman. And the verse that I've always connected sort of as my name's verse is 1 Corinthians 16:13-14. And it says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, be courageous, let all that you do be done in love. And when I think about a dad and some of the things that makes a dad such an amazing person is just that protector, that watchfulness, that leading the family by standing firm in the faith, being courageous, being strong, and yet wrapping all that up within love. You know, if there's one verse that, boy, I encourage young dads to really look at and memorize and go, man, there's your game plan. Do those things, and man, your kids will be blessed. Your wife will be blessed. And I love that. There's so much in that verse.
Would you read that again, just in light of what you just said, Greg? I want to hear it again for the first time. Read that passage again.
Is it because you weren't listening the first time?
Yeah, what was it again?
I wasn't. So go ahead and read it again.
Neither. I'm telling you, she's on Facebook. No, Susie's checking her Twitter.
Now I'm walking through. Oh, that's the helmet, the yes. Sword.
Yeah. Aaron's crafting a knight here in the corner.
She's writing her
armor.
Next book. But go ahead.
I am. It's called The Armor of Marriage.
There, it's perfect.
But
okay,
I love
great.
These words. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, be courageous, let all you do be done in love.
That's fantastic. So, so good. Okay, so let's talk dads. You came armed with some great bullet points about just different roles that dads have, but maybe start with the idea of dad being a hero. Greg, start with that. Is that an accurate persona for dads, or is that just too much pressure?
I think the idea that the culture puts forward about dads is that we are to be this hero, and I want to be a hero to my kids. I mean, I would definitely resonate with that, but I think more culturally, I think the culture pulls that we're a hero like Superman. You know, we're a hero like, you know, LeBron James. We're something like that, the superhuman, amazing person. And for me, when I think about the word hero, when you look at the definition, it means this. It's the principal male character in a literary or dramatic work. So in other words, this you're talking about the leading man in a story. And so when I think about a hero, I don't want to try to do everything so perfect and be this, you know, bigger than life hero like a Superman. You know, I want to be a hero in the sense that I'm the lead male character within my family. I want to be present. I want to pursue my kids. I want to be so active that it's obvious that I'm a hero in that sense. And that to me is attainable. I can't do, I'll never be able to shoot baskets like LeBron, which my son's mad at because he'd be like, well, then I could do that. If he could do that, then I could do that.
Oh, but I think he thinks he does shoot like
that's true. Yeah, he thinks he's Steph Curry. I'm like, well, sure.
Yeah. After that, go to American Idol. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, but it's
make
a good,
me some money.
It's a good distinction. I remember one night I was sitting on my bed whipping through email, and Kev was a volunteer youth pastor for a number of years and then a youth leader. And apparently one night at youth group, it was superhero night, and he hops in the room, scares the daylights out of him. He's 6'3", 260 pounds, and he found a Superman costume. And I'm like, I'm like,
he had tights on?
And awesome. The big red pants look like a massive diaper. I'm just like, I'm not turned on right now. it's not doing it for me.
But we hope you guys are.
Well,
we think you should be.
But the point being, these superheroes are kind of like adrenaline junkies. But truly, yeah. A true adrenaline junkie doesn't make for a good dad. But the kind of dad you're talking about, the leader who makes these quiet, humble decisions, doesn't have to be the center of attention, but is the central strength. That takes humility and strength, don't you think?
Absolutely, and a willingness to engage with all the imperfections, with the fact that I know there's going to be so many moments and days and perhaps seasons that I'm feeling guilty because I'm, in my mind, not doing enough or feeling bad that, oh, I should have done one more thing to invest, you know, with my kids. And yet, yeah, I just want to be there first and foremost and be that central lead character. Last night, It was one of the funniest, I think, moments between my son, who's 15, and myself. He loves cats, right, Aaron?
Well, I mean, he loves his cat.
Loves his cat. And so Aaron and I even wrestled through, do we actually want the kid to have a cat? And but it's so cool to watch this big old boy just love on and care for this cat. And this cat follows him around. Like,
he completely sits by the door and meows when he's outside shooting baskets.
Yeah.
I mean, the cat wants to be with Garrison.
And so last night, Garrison's got this cat, and he's cradling it in his bedroom right by the door. And so I was just finished getting ready for bed, so I was just going to go to his room, and I was like, say, hey, good night, man, love you, see you in the morning. And so I could see him standing there. I didn't know he was holding the cat. So I just kind of jumped through the door and just screamed as loud as I could. And the poor cat, like, the poor cat just, like, soiled itself, like, peed all over Garrison because it was so scared.
Listen to him. He's so broken up over this.
It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. This big honking cat in Garrison's arm. I didn't mean to scare it. I didn't know he was holding it. And the thing just pees all over him. So there's my dad moment for yesterday.
Father of the year.
I won that one. Oh, you talk about standing firm.
And you know, when the moms are getting their kids ready, they try to stay calm, turn the lights down. When the dads get their kids ready, they jump in the room and create a chaos.
Isn't that the truth?
Oh, my goodness.
Why it was just Garrison's poor face as he's just holding this cat while it pees all over him. I'll never forget that.
Yeah. That's
so maybe no one else thinks this is funny, but
one of your finer moments, Molly, I got to say. So, Aaron, here's a question for you to think about on the other side. I want to know what wives want from their husbands with regards to their role as fathers. Have you noted that we as women want from our husbands when it comes to fatherhood? All right?
Okay.
That's your
That's
question.
A good one.
Thank you very much. Talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley. And thinking of Greg, can't get the image out of my mind, jumping in, scaring the cat. The cat pees on the sun.
I can't get the smell out of my mind.
I can't get the picture out of my mind. And the fact that Craig still can't tell the story without breaking up because he's so proud of himself. Anyway, more with the Smalleys when we come back. If you can take and you can give, learn how to love and you learn how to live. It's never a waste of time or money to put your heart on the line for somebody. Learn to love. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my good friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley. Today, we're talking fatherhood and the importance of dads in the lives of kids. And Aaron, I set up this question, give you a little time to think about it. Still, I kind of put you on the spot, but I know you're going to come up with a fantastic answer for me. What do wives want from their husbands in their role as fathers?
Mm-hmm. You know,
loving.
Loving. Greg, I think that's direct to Aaron. So, you know, I thought about, you know, what do I want? What do I hear my friends talking about as far as their husbands, as dads? And, you know, I would say first and foremost that really what we want as women is for our husbands to be very present, to really show up and really help speak into our kids' lives and into, I mean, there are children and, you know, maybe when you have younger kids, it's a lot of the physical, you know, to be present, helping with the physical part of parenting because, you know, with a baby, there's a lot of, you know, things that need to be done, a lot of items that need to be carried. But, you know, as your kids get older and even, you know, we have a 22-year-old daughter, I need Greg to speak into her life because he can do it in a way that I can't. And Murphy, who's 18, she needs a daddy who is very present and will speak to her and speak into her life and just to show her so many things that I can't as a mom. I love that God made us together to parent these children because Greg has a very different role than I do.
Mm. And Greg, from your perspective as a dad, what do you think your daughter needs from you mostly? And what does your son need from you mostly other than making the cat pee on him? If you just tuned in, that was a story from the open of the show. But anyway, keep going.
You know, I think my daughters, so I have three of them, you know, I think first and foremost they need to know that they are loved and valued. They need to feel safe with me. They need to know that I'm going to protect them from both you know, external threat, internal threat. They need to really know that they are worth being pursued. And so I think a big part of it, I mean, if there was one thing that I would focus on, it's that value piece. They, you know, there's a great verse in Exodus where God is kind of speaking to the children of Israel, calling them his treasured possession. And I think that as our Heavenly Father said that to the Israelites, man, what a great analogy. When I think of my girls, man, I want to see them as my treasured possession. And I think the more that they feel valued, pursued, I think that one, it teaches them how they should be treated by a man someday. I mean, how I treat them, how I show up, how I pursue them, how I love them is what they will expect and probably pursue within their own relationship. And that's why I want my girls to know that you know, even as they get busy, and you know, our daughters are two of them are out of our home, and but I still want them to know, man, I think about you, and man, I just think you're such a treasure. And I think the more they know, I know one of my goals as a father, when my kids were all at home with my girls, that I didn't want the first compliment my daughters heard that day to come from a boy. I wanted them to hear it from me. I wanted them to show up at school and hear some boy, you know, going on and on about them. But I wanted them to go, you know what? Yeah, that's fine. You should have heard what my dad said. Yeah, I just wanted them to be so used to me doing that wasn't a hole in their heart that some guy would be certainly willing to fill.
And, you know, I saw this. Murphy was talking with this young man, and I think you and she went on a trip, and you saw this kid, and she came home, and she was totally enamored with this guy. She came home, and she said, you could tell that the flame had died out, and she said, yeah, you know, interacting with this young man, this guy, he didn't value me, and I could tell he just wasn't into me or pursuing me, and I want someone who pursues me like my daddy. And it was so precious, because that was it. Like, for her, she even told me she saw him with another girl yesterday, and she's like, yeah, it doesn't bother me, because she knows what she wants, and she knows what she wants because of her daddy's impact on her life.
Wow. Okay, how about this? What is Garrison? What do sons need from their dads, Greg?
Yeah, I think
not to have to make the cat pee on him.
Actually, that probably was his love language.
It is, exactly.
Although Garrison thought it was hilarious.
I mean, I think several things. I love the verse in Matthew 3:17, and behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved son," which means much loved, "with whom I am well pleased." And I think it the heart of a boy, as he's growing older, wants to know that he has what it takes to be successful. He wants to know that his daddy sees in him these things that son, you will be successful. You have what it takes. And so I think the more and more that I can invest in him by teaching him skills, teaching him how to treat his mom, how to treat his sisters. I mean, there's so many times I'm like, son, that is never how you will ever speak to my wife, but that certainly you shouldn't do that, because I don't want you speaking to your wife that way. And so I think our sons need a present man who is teaching them how to be a man. What does manhood look like? It was so fun. Actually, I was working out, like 5 in the morning this morning, and Garrison came tumbling down the stairs, and he thought he had basketball practice. It got canceled, and so he goes, "Hey, Dad, let's go to breakfast." And so my first thought was, come on, man, I got my routine, and I'm halfway through my workout, and, you know, you're killing me. And I just went, absolutely. So I jumped off, went and took a shower, and took him out to breakfast. And I'm telling you, I had an hour with my son hearing about a camp he'd just been to and what God was teaching to him and how his relationship with God was deeper. We focused on that 1 Corinthians 16:13-14 because he asked me, he goes, what's like your favorite verse? And so we were talking about that and just unpacking those elements, going, do you see how as a man, do you understand the watchman part of that? Do you understand the courageous, the strong? How do you show up as strong but yet do everything you do in love? Well, maybe, yeah, I wouldn't be a bully. Not that he is, but I mean, he was processing that. And I think all of that will help our sons feel like, you know what, I have what it takes to be successful, and I have a dad who's...
Yeah, just, you know, Shanti Feldhahn had done all that research and had said that if a man had to choose between feeling loved and feeling made to be feel competent, they would choose competency every time. And I think boys feel the same way. And I mean, I remember when our boys, you know, two of the three had a license, and Kev said to them, as long as you live under this roof and you have your license and are using one of our cars, mom will never have to pump gas until you move out and you have a life of your own. You mom should never have to pump gas. And I just saw them stand up a little bit straighter. But to have something communicated to them that you can do this, you know, and I believe in you. But also the rough and tumble piece. I told you this story before, but when I was writing Growing Grateful Kids and I asked Jordan, what was your best game that you remember playing with dad? And he said, oh, the pillow game. And I cringed because these guys would be in their underwear and their boxers and they would run through the living room. Kev would throw a couch pillow, hard pillow, kind of those stuffed tight pillows, at their feet to try to take them out while they run through the living room. And sometimes they would go flying. And I think it's probably illegal now. I'm sure people can't do that. But that was his favorite game. But boys are just different that way, aren't they?
We really are. You know, that's... That's absolutely one way that we really connect. I mean, I'm always, Garrison now, as we established, is almost as big as me or bigger. And so the kid is always attacking me. You know, if I'm walking up the stairs now, I get tripped and he'll pounce on me and hold me down, make me cry, uncle.
And it's so funny that he knows that's how he's to interact with you. But you've done such a fabulous job of training him how he should treat me because I just drove 12 hours each way to Arkansas to pick him up from camp, bring him back. And the entire way, I love what you said about the pumping gas, the entire way he opened every single door for me and he pumped every single bit of gas on the way home. So he knew because of you, that's how he treats me, but he's pushing you down the stairs. So I don't know.
Trade. Yes, go give me gas and throw your mom on the ground while you walk by her.
At one point we were driving and he grabbed my arm and he like intertwined his arm around my arm and he fell sound asleep on it.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
And it was just so sweet because it was.
We didn't scare him because he would have soiled himself all over you.
Well, I did turn the seat heater on and put the heater on his side while he was asleep.
That's what he needs. The banter.
Talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley about fatherhood. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about how to stand and be a biblical father. A father that Scripture supports in a culture that's morally imploding around us. How do we hold to our convictions in a wise and winsome way? Have fun with our kids and our family. Honor our spouses. Honor God in the midst of where we now live. More with Dr. Greg and Aaron when we return. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friends Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley from Focus on the Family. We get them on twice a month. Today we're talking about fathers. And if you want to call in, I'd sure love to know something that you love about your dad, something you appreciate. 877-933-2484. We've got some resources off of our Faith Radio shelf, even some Smalley resources. We'll find something for you. 877-933-2484 or email me Susie@myfaithradio.com. What's one of the things you loved most about your dad? If he's still with us, say that. Tell us what you love about him. But we're going to talk about some of the strengths of a father. And Greg, we'll start with you on this one, a protector. You touched on it a little bit, but say a little bit more about the role of protector for the father.
You know, one of my favorite stories as a dad was thinking back to when Garrison had his, like, eighth birthday party. So we're living in Arkansas at the time, so you've got, what, 10 or so eight-year-old boys sitting at the table eating cake. Well, this one kid was absolutely smitten with Taylor. So Taylor would have been, you know,
17,
teenager,
yeah, or
whatever. And so she had gone out for a run, a jog, and came back. So she just walks kind of through the kitchen, hey, boys, and comes over, and so we're talking. Well, I just noticed the one kid who just is goo-eyed over her, just kind of is tracking her, and then so now I'm just really watching. And so he gets up, walks all the way over to me, and in his best little Arkansas voice goes, Dr. Gregg? I said, yeah. He goes, would you make Taylor dance for us? I went, what? And he goes, yeah, I would like it if Taylor would dance for us. And I'm thinking, like, do you want me to get a pole? What are you talking about? And this weird old little kid. And we got laughing so hard. And so I had to, of course, take this young lad back over to the table and just say, you know, we don't do that. A dad would not make his daughter do that at a birthday party. So that's not going to happen, and I'm going to take you home
right now. So much for the birthday party.
So, I mean, I think, and that's one of the things I love, is I think about dads that man, just that protector heart. Mm-hmm. So rather it's that we're getting up in the middle of the night because certain people hear noises in the middle of the night and need us to go check things out, or, you know, we're just, whatever it is. I mean, that watchful eye, go back to that 1 Corinthians 16, you know, be on your guard, be a watchman. We need to look and go, first of all, I'm expecting my children will be attacked by the evil one. And so how am I protecting them from that? How am I doing that through prayer? How am I doing that through our conversations? You know, but what, you know, like this, you know, like this little kid, you know, that we're going to get other kinds of threats as well. And I get to do that. I get to protect my children.
I remember in high school, I was dating a guy, and we were riding in his dad's convertible down this road on a date. And these other guys from high school pulled up next to the convertible, and we're riding down this busy road. And they started to say some of the worst things to me, verbal things that they, you know, things that you shouldn't say to a girl, that they were intending to do. And I was so traumatized by it. And I'm looking at this boyfriend of mine, and he's laughing because he was too much of a spineless whatever to stand up to them. And I was sick to my stomach. And we're driving. I mean, take me home. And they kept riding side by side with us, and we're taunting and laughing. And he just kept laughing. And I ran in the house, grabbed my dad, and I was crying, and I was so traumatized by it. Before I knew it, my dad had grabbed a bat from under the bed and ran out in his boxers. He had the bat over his head, and those guys took off so fast. And I thought the contrast of these two was so stark that I thought, I'll never date a guy who's not a protector. Mm. I mean, just there was not even a blink. My dad's like, you can talk to my daughter. You're going to see the end of this Willie Mays.
You're going to get introduced to a bat.
Isn't it fabulous, Susie? And you married a man that is so protective of you.
He just has to make a fist and conk people on the head. And
I just get scared thinking about it.
You should.
I'm scared right now. I'm going to be nice to you for the rest of the show.
But there is something, because, you know, it's like we want to be strong as women, but we still want to know that our man is stronger, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I know that there's something so priceless when I see Greg taking up an offense or taking a stand with one of our kids that, And even when it's between the siblings, between Annie and Garrison or Garrison and Murphy, to say, you know what, no, I'm taking a stand that this is not okay. You know, this is not how you treat your sister. This is not how you treat your brother. And just protecting them in that way emotionally and, you know, physically, maybe if Garrison's pushing other people down the stairs, I hope not. But, you know, it really is. There's something so attractive to me when he does that kind of stuff.
Mm. Okay, provider. Let's start with you, Aaron, because, again, this is a something. If there's an on-again, off-again, there's even scripture that says, you know, that God will not hear your prayers. If you're not providing, if you're leaving a hurt in the heart of your woman, your religion really isn't worth much. So talk about the role even just of a father and provider and what that does for the wife, what that does for the kids.
Mm-hmm. You know, really, you look in scripture that you know, Adam was created much differently than Eve. And really, Adam's role, he was the protector. He was the provider. And, you know, dads provide financially, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically for their family in so many ways, so many opportunities to provide. And there's something that brings such a safety to me and to our kids, knowing that their daddy does such a good job with this. And it looks so different. And, you know, if you're a man and you've been through a season of unemployment, there are other ways that you can provide for your family spiritually, emotionally. And, you know,
point.
I just think it's in the heart of a man to provide in all these ways for their family.
Boy, that's good.
And I feel like probably we're taught more around the financial part.
Yes.
I think when we hear that word provider, we equals financial providing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I know, Susie, for me, it really, what I started to notice when my kids were very young, when they would fall down, when they'd get hurt, they would literally get up and go, like, where's mom? And I would go, I don't know where mom is, but I'm right here. Yeah, but could you go find mom? I fell down. I could, but, like, why don't you come here? Why don't you talk to me? Yeah, but mom, I mean, I started to really go, what is it that she does that I'm not doing? What makes them really want to go to mom when they're hurting? And I think it was because I realized that I get into the lecture mode pretty quick. I would get into the, you know, if you're, you know, running on the wall, of course you're going to fall off and, you know, rub some dirt on it. Now go. And so it bothered me, though, because it really seemed like that they would look and seek her out to get that sort of comfort, that nurture, that emotional providing. And I really took it upon myself to go, okay, at some point, I know I'm successful here is if they are whichever parent, mom or dad is nearby, I'm going to go to that person. And Susie, honestly, I worked really hard at that. And I was thrilled the day that, you know, one of them got hurt and I was right there, just came running and just let me care and comfort. And, but it's been something I've had to learn because I had to resist sort of the lecture, teaching, training, and understand the value of the caring first and foremost.
Boy, that's such a good point, Greg, because in your mind's eye, I can see where the natural thought would be, my role is provider financially. But you wanted to show up in other ways of provision with your kids, but you had to be intentional about it. Maybe speak a little bit more to that, because like Aaron talked about emotional and just even time-wise, physical presence, you know, providing time for them and creating time and space for them to be kids. And, I mean, say a bit more if you would.
You know, I had to, excuse me, I had to begin to value the care first and foremost over the lesson or the solution or how we'll fix this problem. And I know one of the things that rocked my perspective on all this was really, you know, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Why he was weeping was his buddy Lazarus had died. It had always fascinated me when he got to the family and they're crying and grieving, of course. He knew ahead of time. I believe he knew that he was going to raise Lazarus. I don't think that was this is so sad. I wish I could have done something. Wait, that's right. I'm the Son of God. I could totally raise it I think he knew. And therefore, as the guy sort of in that fix-it problem-solve mode, I would have been more tempted to go, hey, hello, everybody, stop crying. It's me, Jesus. I'm here now. Watch, because I'm about to blow your mind. And yet he seemed to take first and foremost some time to grieve, to hurt with, to care with this family. And I just I love that empathy piece. Sympathy is when we can feel bad for someone. So when my kids would fall down, I mean, I could go, oh, that probably hurt, and I feel bad. Now, however, let's see how we can fix this and not do that again. Versus the empathy is when I feel bad with you. And I was just noticing that it seemed that Aaron really did that much better than me, which is cool. And our kids were blessed, but I wanted to share in that. That was a part of how I wanted to provide as well. And so I think the more value I placed on the caring with, the hurting with, as a first action, which then seems to give me the opportunity then, like it did for Christ, to solve the problem second. But first, there needs to be that caring piece. And once that sort of set in, I love that quote, I think I put a little quote next to my computer in my Bible or something that said, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And as a dad, that really helped to shape a new way that I wanted to provide.
Mm-hmm. I spent all day, Susie, today writing on the benefit of tears. And it's so interesting.
I noticed you didn't interview me.
Well, I actually did research. I wasn't interviewing. I was researching on the computer. But, you know, it was interesting to read that scripture talks about crying and weeping 200 times just in within the Bible. And it's not just women who are crying and weeping. It is some really tough men and, you know, some stellar men who are weeping and crying. And, you know, it really showed me that, you know, so often in our culture, you know, you're talking about caring and being empathic and that Jesus wept, that, you know, culturally it's not acceptable, you know, it doesn't seem acceptable for men to cry and to care and to be compassionate. And really I landed at, what would it be like if we valued tears and weeping so much, just like scripture? I mean, our tears are being collected and, you know, Jesus cares about every single tear we cry. What if, you know, heads of CEOs of organizations, you know, men, you know, were vulnerable and cried and it was valued and respected? How would that change our culture?
Hmm. You know what? In fact, people that you talk to that have been through major hardship and say, I never used to be that person. Now I am. They're so much more accessible because, you know what I mean? Because they've been so tenderized. They're safer. Yeah. When we come back for this last segment, I'd really love to take a bit of a turn and talk about fatherhood in the years where you're releasing your kids, because fatherhood and even motherhood looks different when you're suddenly preparing them to launch and you're launching them out of the nest. How do you relate to them then? We'll talk about that with Dr. Greg and Aaron when we return.
I used to think a wedding was a simple affair. Boy and girl meet, they fall in love, they say I do. I was wrong. That's getting married. A wedding is an entirely different proposition. You fathers will understand. You have an adorable little girl who looks up to you and adores you in a way you could never have imagined.
Dad, I met a man in Rome and we're getting married.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I'm engaged, I'm getting married.
Right then, I realized my day had passed. Annie, it's a little nippy out. You might want to put on a sweater.
Dad, it's okay. I'm kind of warm.
So there's a chill in the air, and you've been on a plane.
Dad, I'm fine.
Annie, it is kind of cold out.
It is?
Yeah.
All right, thanks. I'll get my jacket.
I was no longer the man in my little girl's life. Old Dad was history. I remember seeing someone who looked like Brian's twin on America's Most Wanted.
I hope I didn't make you two cry.
Oh, I'm crying. Thank you
so
much.
I've been crying all day, so.
That's from Father of a Bride. I know.
And we have one about to get married.
We have one about to get engaged.
Exactly. So that's a clip from Father of the Bride, but just what a great movie. But truly, this whole stage of launching and releasing is something new altogether. And so, Greg, anything about this season of launching your daughter now? She's about to get engaged. You're launching your other daughter into college. As a father, anything about this that has surprised you?
I think it's harder for me to let go of the role that I love in the way in which that I've been able to be a dad to my older girls right now. And in other words, I think as we launch our kids, you know, as a dad, my role changes, just like Steve Martin was talking about. It's his character. And, you know, we have to go for more of that directive, you know, advice, here's what you need to do, to more of a mentor. Mm-hmm. I think the shift is, I don't want to provide my kids with the answer now. I want to continue to say, well, here's some things that I would think about. I want to keep seeding that man, you guys, you're out of my home, and this really is your decision. Thank you for inviting me into this discussion. So here's a couple things I'd think about. What do you think? And you're the decision maker. I mean, those are the kinds of conversations that I have now, because I think it's easy for me to continue to go, yeah, I mean, I've got experience and I've got hopefully some wisdom. So here's what I would do. And I don't think that's what our older children need. They need to know, one, that nothing you could ever do would separate my love for you, and let me help you think that through. But you know, you're the decision maker, and what's cool is I know you have it in you to make the right decision. I know who you are. I believe in you. I think it's like, you remember when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and kept calling him a mighty warrior? I mean, I think that's still a part of my job is to call out those things that I see that are true, that you are strong, that you are courageous, that you have wisdom, you have the tools, you know, you're capable of doing this. Just do it. I'm not going to give you the answer, but I'm going to stand by you. No matter what you decide, I'm there.
Mm. Aaron, anything from you? Just
well,
as you're getting, go ahead.
I'm smiling because today, as I wrote this article on tears, it was entitled. The title they gave me to write on was "Reflections from Graduation." I was the mom that ugly cried at the last soccer game.
That's true.
And even, you know, how different it was for Greg versus for me. You know, grieving and, you know, letting go of this season that we've had with Murphy. And it's not an end, it's a transition to a new season. And it really has transitioned. I mean, I cried for 2 solid months. It just wouldn't stop. The tears would just seep out. And, you know, for Greg, it was different that he was functioning. And I mean, I was functioning as well, but it was so interesting. Just this last weekend, I got to see Murphy. I was in Arkansas. She's working at this camp all summer. She came and she's off from noon to about 9 p.m. on Saturday. So we got to spend the day together. And when it came time for her to leave, I walked out of the house with her to her car. And we were standing there and she just like big bear hugged me, put her arms around my neck and just hugged me. And she started crying. And it was such an interesting role reversal because I wasn't crying for the first time. And it was so awesome because I was able in this new role, because I grieved, you know, the end of this season into this new one, I was able to say, sweetie, you are doing so well. I'm so proud of you, you know, and just encourage her and support her in this new season. And it was the most precious thing. She hugged me and she was crying. And of course, then I start crying. She says, Mom, I know I'm doing well. I know this is where I'm supposed to be, but I want you to know you are one of my very best friends and I miss you. Mm. And it just was so precious. And that as we transition into new seasons of launching our kids, it pulls at our heartstrings. But as we walk through the grief and through the change, what an amazing opportunity we have on the other side of it.
Boy, that's so good. And as parents of all boys, even that launch even takes on a different look because, you know, we raise them to leave and cleave. And so they're doing their job by leaving and then cleaving to their woman, right? And I was thinking about, you know, you raise them. It's like you got the seed. And then when you plant the seed underground where you're releasing them to the world, there's a time of in between, I feel like, where they're doing things on their own. And even I think girls will do this too, but they'll do things different than we think. And you know what I mean? It can be very wonderful and sentimental when you launch them. But when they really are breaking free to find their own footing and their own faith, it's going to become their own and look different than ours. And are we secure enough to let them come up and be who they are? So I kind of identified these three seasons where you raise them, you release them, but then you receive them back as their own adults and you're in a different kind of fellowship. It's really something quite beautiful. And we just got about go ahead, Greg.
I love that. Mm.
Well, Greg, just.
Oh, I was just saying, I love that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. I was just going to say, can you say something else nice to me, Tuna? I'm just kidding. I just drew a blank. I just wanted another compliment. So, Greg, boy, but I'm Bob Ching.
You have what it takes.
Thank you. I can do this. So we've got about.
We love you,
you know.
Go ahead, Greg.
But I love what you were saying. In like Garrison asked me the other day. He goes, "Hey, can you take me over to the beef jerky outlet? Because I want to get some beef jerky." And so we drove over there. There is a beef jerky outlet near our house.
Such a thing.
I swear.
Wow.
But they didn't come home with beef jerky. They came home with something else.
he's this. this plant there. It's a Carolina Reaper pepper, which is the hottest known pepper on the planet. And it was like this thing, we could grow it. And so he didn't want jerky then. He wanted the can to grow the Carolina Reaper. And it was so cool because we've had this thing. We've been watering it for like 3 weeks, and it, nothing. I mean, there's no evidence that there's even a plant inside this little whatever we bought, this can. And finally, all of a sudden, we've seen these little this little growth. And so this morning at breakfast, we were just talking about it. And so he goes, Dad, that's kind of like that plant is kind of like – What you're doing right now is, he goes, you're helping me have these strong roots, and so maybe we won't be able to see anything for, you know, a couple months or whatever. But Dad, I just want you to know, man, they're growing, and soon you're going to see this really cool plant. Mm. And I'm going, that was the one of the best
fantastic
analogies that my goal is as a father. Mm. And so I just now think of the Carolina Reaper pepper.
You know, it's amazing.
My goal as a father, grow their roots deep, and
amen,
then you'll start to see the fruit.
And you sow the seeds.
The
I mean,
pepper.
I remember the mm-hmm, our boys, when we would have these Devo times, and Kev would just trade out. We'd say, Luke, you lead us out in prayer. Jordan, you're going to lead this time. And he kind of call out the leader in them. And this weekend for Father's Day, my hubby's a sailing captain. He's taken the three on a sailing trip around the Apostle Islands, and each of them have a Devo time assignment. Mm. And it's just interesting to see them kind of come back around, but they're coming with some life experience, some bumps and bruises. But it's so interesting to raise them, to release them, and then now to receive them back as grown men. It's such a different dynamic, but it looks different than you always think it's going to. But what an honor, really, the whole process, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Man, well, this time has come by.
It truly is.
Yeah. What a blessing it is to be parents, and dads, we appreciate you so very much. And Greg, you're such a good, excellent role model as a dad. And wondering as we wrap up, I'm thinking of that person listening today, Greg, who didn't have a great father role model and feels pretty insecure about how he's showing up. But he's nothing like his dad. He's doing his best. But would you just pray that great man would have confidence in what God's given him?
Lord, we just pray that give us the vision, the image, Lord, of what a hero really means. And that's just someone who is the principal character, male character, Lord, in our home. That we don't have to be superhero, we don't have to be perfect, that we're going to mess up so much, and that's okay. What matters is we're there, that we're willing to invest and be a part in through all the roller coaster, Lord, of life, just to help us remember that you're in charge and that we are to be on guard, Lord. Help us to stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and to do everything that we do to do that in love. God, that's our prayers, dads. Help us to live out 1 Corinthians 16:13-14. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do in our life. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Mm. Greg and Aaron, always, always appreciate our time with you. Thanks for all you do for the family and for marriage.
Thank you so much, Susie.
Thanks always for having us. We love you, Susie.
Love you, too, so very much.
If you can take and you can give, learn how to love and you learn how to live. It's better to waste a little time or money to put your heart on the line for somebody. Learning to love. We're still learning to love. I said it's never a waste of time or money to put your heart on the line for somebody. Learning to love. Anybody can break your heart, but it takes someone to love it.
Been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Would love for you to become a radio missionary. If you hear a program, the morning show, the noon show today, you want to share, we've made it very shareable. With a click of a button, you can send it out by Facebook, email, or Twitter. And also remember, we're partnering with FEBC. If you want to give a radio to get the gospel out into the remotest parts of the earth, go to givearadio.org. Be a radio missionary at the whole next level. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.